Are you directionally challenged? Dr. Jim Coakley is going to help us with our directions when it comes to rightly dividing the word of truth this morning as we tackle another Bible study tool segment. Dr. Jim Coakley has taught at Moody Bible Institute, specializing in Old Testament and biblical languages since 1999, and now you can bring to mind and utilize all these Bible study tools from his new book, 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. And good morning, Jim.
Great to be with you again.
Yeah, always good to have you, Jim. Thanks so much. And we're going to talk a little bit about your book in just a couple minutes as well. But I just want to kind of get what your thinking is here about that we sometimes can't have the right direction. And you were saying even in, what, biblical times, directions were handled differently. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, one of the courses I teach is Life in Bible Times here on the campus, and always trying to let people see that you have to immerse yourself in the culture of the people of the Bible to really understand it. And one of the things that we orient ourselves today, and it's funny, even the word orient and orientation comes with a focus towards the east, and I'll explain that, is we have a northward focus. Compasses point north, we have the North Star, all of our maps have north at the top of the maps, but that was not the case in Bible times. Their orientation was literally towards the east, which is Orient. So their orientation was 90 degrees different from the way that we normally kind of situate ourselves in space. And so just being aware that they were, in a sense, had a different kind of compass, as it were, can help us to get some more meaning out of some of the passages that we read. But they also, these different compass points, these coordinates, also have some meaning that's infused in these directions. And so it's more than just a place, a direction that you go, but it also infuses with some spiritual and some significance.
Mm-hmm. So what is that significance? Let's start with east. What is the significance of east?
Yeah, what's interesting is that it really starts out on a positive note because the Garden of Eden was placed in the east. That's what Genesis 2:8 tells us. The Lord God planted the garden in Eden in the east, and that's where the garden was placed. And of course, so that's a very positive thing because that's where, you know, the original place where man was created was put. And the entrance to that garden was on the east. Now, of course, we know that when Adam and Eve fell, then they had to go eastward of Eden, east of Eden. John Steinbeck wrote a book with that that title. And so the idea of going east then is you're going away from the presence of God, and that's what happens with Cain. He's going eastward. The men of Babel go east. And so when you're reading people going in the direction of the east, that now has negative because you're going away from where the presence of God was. And so even when you get to the exiles that the book of Deuteronomy is talking about, is that the people go to exile to the east. They go to Babylon. They go to Assyria. And so this is then part of the eastward focus is really going in the wrong direction. And so that's where east kind of comes into play.
Hmm. Very interesting. So then we, like you said in the outset, we focus on north being our place that we have at the top of our maps and compasses. So let's talk about north in the Bible then a little bit.
Yeah, north is basically kind of the unknown, because even I just came back from Israel. The north is the hinterlands. It's the mountainous region. That's where all the enemies of God's people come from. You know, so Assyria, Babylon, they have to come down the Fertile Crescent route and make their way into the Promised Land through that corridor. And so north has got a little bit more of an ominous kind of feeling. But positively, it's the dwelling place of God. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 talks about the fact that it's, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God where I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. So even in the, you know, unknown, that's where God dwells. And so there's something about God is even above that mystery, that unknown kind of entity that we sometimes fear. But God is there. That's where his abode is.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. So let's go west, young man.
Yeah, it's funny because I was looking up the background to that, and apparently the backdrop to that is it's accredited to a newspaper editor, Horace Greeley, But it's really not well known as to that. But it's really dealing with the manifest destiny, kind of the, it was the westward expansion of the United States went. That was where all of the opportunity and so idea of going west, young man. But actually, that's a very biblical notion. Because just as we just talked about, if you're heading east, you're heading in the wrong direction. But if you're coming west, you're actually coming in the right direction. Because as the Garden of Eden, the entrance was on the east. Well, that meant really the garden was on the west. And so it is with the temple and the tabernacle. The entrance would be placed on the east, but the Holy of Holies is on the west side of that. So if you're coming west, you're going in the right direction. You're moving back towards God. And that's what we also see, too, when you see Naomi coming back from Moab. She's coming west to Bethlehem. When Jacob is coming back after 20 years of being, you know, away from family, he's now coming west, back over the Jordan River and coming back to the Promised Land. And same with the exiles. When the exiles, after the Babylonian exile, they're coming west to come back and resettle in the Promised Land. So coming west is actually a very positive move, because then you're returning home, as it were. You're going to where God's presence is. And so go west, young man, is a not just a statement for opportunity, but also it's really a spiritual kind of message theme that we should head in the direction of God's presence.
So insightful.
I love that. Love that. Dr. James Coakley is visiting with us today from the Moody Bible Institute. All right, y'all, let's go south.
Let's go south. Yeah, it's the notion is of south is kind of more wilderness. Even in the Hebrew Bible, the word for south is the word for the region that's in the south. It's called the Negev. And so if I say I'm going Texas, that means I'm going south. And so if I'm going Negev, I'm going to the south. And so that's the directional the point that they use as a geographical area. And that's wilderness. And so it's kind of more daunting. Wilderness is kind of an interesting theme in and of itself. It's a place where we wander aimlessly because of our sin. But it's also a place in the prophets later on. It's kind of infused with that's where we can meet God in the wilderness. And even in the Bible, the south is where the nation of Judah, the kingdom of Judah is located. Judah and Simeon and Benjamin are all in the south, and that makes up the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is in the north, the northern kingdom. And really, the northern kingdom struggles spiritually, but it's the southern kingdom that maintains more fidelity. And I think part of it is because the terrain and the wilderness-like atmosphere forces you to have to depend upon God. And so there's, even though it's kind of a daunting thing, it also is where God can show himself strong by providing for our needs, even in the wilderness-like experience.
So we've gone east and north and west and south. Now, what does it mean when the Bible mentions all four directions?
Yeah, that's kind of a totality. I think it's kind of a reminder of, in a sense, everything all at once. We talk about the four corners of the earth, or if we talk about the four directions. And here in Genesis chapter 28, verse 14, it really signals blessing. Because here it said, Abraham's offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. He shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so basically then that expansion outward in all directions is really a sign of God's blessing. Mm-hmm. So it's good when you see all four directions kind of come into play in those kind of texts. But then it also has the notion of entirety. Deuteronomy chapter 3, Moses is told to go up to the top of Mount Pisgah and lift your eyes westward, northward, southward, eastward. Mm-hmm. And so basically that's kind of like saying, this is all my land. And so it's really talking about how God is control of all of that. And so it really, because the idea of complete or entire also is encumbered in that four directions all at once.
Mm. Yeah. So, Jim, let's get some application from this as we want to study our Bibles better and learn more about it, but then put it into action. How can this play into that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, just understanding people's orientation in their world, that they're basically looking towards the east, it makes sense. That's where the sun comes up. That's their sundial, as it were, for their day to kind of orient them in space. And so it really then helps with understanding some key passages, I think like Genesis 13, where Abraham and Lot are in struggle. There's quarreling among the herdsmen. And Abram, trying to be the peacemaker, says to Lot, hey, if you go right, you go, basically, if you're facing to the east, right would be to the south, I'll go north. And if you go north, if you go left, I'll go right, I'll go south. And what's interesting, though, is I think Abram was trying to even give up some of his own possession, which I don't think was necessarily his to give away, because God promised it to him, not to Lot. But it's interesting that Lot lifts up his eyes. And what direction is he looking? He's looking towards Sodom. And, of course, if you've got an eastward focus, that's your compass, you're now facing to the east. He's looking east. He's seeing Sodom. And so I find it very interesting that God sovereignly kind of directs Lot's choice, that he's not choosing north or south, because that's really Abram's land. But he chooses outside the promised land to the land of Sodom over the Jordan River. And that's been kind of protecting the blessing that God intended just for Abram by, in a sense, pre-directing Lot's choice to go towards the east. And again, as we've talked about, going east is a bad direction. And so we can see Lot choosing bad. So just being aware of that orientation can really help you to understand some texts. I think even like Psalm 107, as far as the east is from the west, you know, so far your sins shall be removed from you. And so, again, looking at the entirety of the fact that east can never meet west, and so our sins can never be accounted to us once we're forgiven of them by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, there's those passages. But understanding east is a bad direction, west is a good direction, north is kind of ominous, south is more of a wilderness-like experience. I think if you have those notions as you read through the Bible and you come across these compass points, it'll help your Bible reading and freshen it up.
Definitely. Yeah, and speaking of freshening it up, you have a new book out, 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. So tell us about this new release.
Yeah, it's I'm really excited after many years of kind of working on these concepts to kind of help people become more active readers and what to look for. And so basically it's not a hermeneutics book, though it will help with that. It's really how to read book, read the Bible, kind of what you should be looking for. So I know we've talked about a number of these techniques over the years, but paying attention to location, like here with the compass points, paying attention to when dialogue appears, paying attention to structure, paying attention to objects that are mentioned in the text. All these are ways that if you just are aware of them, that biblical authors use these to kind of infuse the text with more than just data, but help you to get the themes of things, really makes your Bible reading really become more fresh.
Yeah. Which one, when you were writing and coming up with these, do you think that a lot of people were surprised when you brought it up as to one of the things to do?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a number of them. I mean, I know I was surprised by a number of them. I mean, the one that really kind of got me started was the first impressions, where looking at when a character comes onto the scene, looking at their first words, their first actions, and any physical descriptors, because that gives a thumbnail portrait of who they are the rest of the way. But I think the beautiful bookends, the idea of looking for how the frame that occurs in most of these Bible books, and it's really prevalent, where books begin and end with the same kind of concepts. You know, Matthew's gospel begins with his name should be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then you come to the end of chapter 28, and you have Jesus giving the Great Commission, and he says, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so God's presence, and it's not just a nicety kind of a literary tidbit, it's really thematic to help you understand the gospel of Matthew more, is to realize that Matthew is trying to present the presence of God with us, you know, the King, but he's also with us. And that's the, you know, one of the angles that Matthew was trying to promote in his gospel about Jesus Christ.
Very cool. So, Jim, one final question for you that we have for you. So if we were to, like, get our own copies of this, would you autograph it for us?
I sure would. And you guys have been in my inner cadre, and been grateful for you to kind of give me the chance to hone some of these. Now, many of the things I've been talking about over the last year or so are not in the book, so I really could use probably a second volume to kind of go with these smaller smaller Bible reading techniques to kind of freshen up. So I'm finding them all over the place, and I've now got a webpage that I'm looking to kind of expand more, 14freshways.com, and so I'm looking to in the future to kind of add more content to kind of just help people, that just give them a little boost. I know people love the Bible. I love the Bible, but you know, having a little bit more of a reading strategy to kind of make you a little bit more having antenna to pick up on clues,
yes,
rather
yes.
than just trying to feel like you got to muddle through it on your own, I found so helpful for me, and mm-hmm. I hope that others do as well.
Definitely. There's such a depth there.
Sure.
You can never dig to the bottom of all the different meaning from the different strategies of reading Scripture. So
that's right. That's right.
It's always fresh.
I have a working title for the next book, More Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible.
There we go. There we go.
I love it. Jim, well, you're a blessing to us. We so appreciate your wisdom and coming on with us all the time to discuss these. And if you want to get this book, by the way, 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, go to moodybooks.org. You can go there and you can get that book. And also, just a reminder, if you haven't given a gift to Share and you were a $30 a month giver, you could get 50% off of it if you wanted to do that too. So you can go to our website, sign up to do that, moodyradio.org/QuadCities. But Jim, always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us today.
All right, everyone, go west. Go west.
That's right. Go
Michael
west,
W. Smith, I think, has a song with that. Go
yes,
west, young
I
man.
Think I should have had that up here.
We should have told you that for the listeners. Yeah, go west, young man.
That's right, exactly. Well, Jim, blessings to you, brother. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you, Ken and Deb. Thank you so much.